I guess certainly times in my life when I've thought, well, when I surveyed the wondrous cross, oh, right, there, okay, yep, I've done the surveying, that's it. But there's another way of surveying, and we're reminded of it every time, and it doesn't happen, obviously, very often, but when somebody wants to buy a house or sell a house, and you have to get a surveyor in to check the house. And the thing about surveyors, if they're doing a good job, they look around everything in the house. They go down into the cellar if there is one. They go up into the loft. They look on the roof. Everywhere they can look, they look to see what is this all about. And I've come to see those words, when I survey the wondrous cross, more in along those lines. An invitation to take time with the cross, to stop and to wait and to reflect. We're told, at noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice. And the words that he cried out are translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? Why have you abandoned me? And Jesus is here quoting from Psalm 22. My guess is that as a good Jew, he will have memorized the words of Psalm 22. And this was just the beginning. It is the opening phrase of Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from the words of my groaning. Oh my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, by night, and am not silent. Now I understand that these words by Jesus have been taken to mean that when Jesus died on the cross, he was abandoned by God. That God, his Father, in some way turned away from him and refused to look upon his Son. And it's important for us to put that to rest and to say that couldn't be further from the truth. Did God abandon Jesus as he died? Absolutely not. Did God, his Father, turn away from him and refuse to look at him? Absolutely not. Couldn't be further from the truth. And I know that we learn a lot of what we believe through what we sing. And if phrases about God turning away are in our hymns, then we come to believe them. But it's not true. God does not abandon Jesus on the cross. But God is there with him as he dies. How do we know that? Well, we know that because of the character of God. If God could abandon his only Son, what's to prevent him abandoning us? And we would confess that God has promised, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Even though everyone else turns away, I will not. I'll always be there. And so we know from the character of God that God will not turn away and he will not abandon us. And he will be with us in life, in death, and through death. But we also know because of Psalm 22. Jesus speaks these opening words, literally just the few opening words. Psalm 22 goes for 31 verses. And it speaks not simply of this plea that God will hear the cry of the one who suffers. But it also reminds us that God is present and ends up with words of praise. These three simple things, a plea. In fact, in Psalm 22, there are two pleas. There's the plea I've just read, the first couple of verses, crying out, "My God, my God." And then later on in verse 19, "But you, O Lord, be not far off. O my strength, come quickly to help me. Deliver my life from the sword." And then it says, "My precious life from the power of dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lion. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen." So Psalm 22 reflects the plea of the one who is suffering, the one who has lost any ability to do anything about their plight. But it's not all about this plea, because what the psalmist does, having pleaded, having cried out to God, he is reminded of the faithful presence of God. Having cried out to God in verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 22, he then reflects, "Yet," he says, "even though I feel abandoned, yet you are enthroned as the Holy One." And then reminds himself, "In our fathers put their trust in you. They trusted you and delivered them." That's true. In the past, you were with them. And then later on, the psalmist reminds himself, "Surely you were with me in my early life. You created me, and I've known you with me." That is my reflection on my life. Your presence forever with me, and I need your presence right now. And then in verse 24, which puts to rest this idea that God turns away and abandons his son. Because Psalm 22, verse 24 says, "For he has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help." God is present in the suffering of Jesus. God watches as his son dies. God is present and experiences the pain and suffering of his son. And Psalm 22, having had those pleas for help, crying out to God that many of us will identify with, those times in our lives when we've felt abandoned and alone. Sometimes we've felt desperately alone, even while we're surrounded by others. Even in our desperation, we can be reminded that God is faithful and God has been present with us, and surely he will be present with us even now. Surely he will be present at the center of our suffering and our sense of loss. And Psalm 22 concludes with praise. And it is a journey that the one who is suffering goes on from that place of suffering, sense of abandonment, the reminder of the presence of God. God is faithful, and I will surely praise him. From you, the theme of my praise in the great assembly. From before those who fear you, I will fulfill my vows. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him. Even though I die, I will worship you. My God, why have you forsaken me? God is present. He hears the cries of our hearts. He is present with us. And he evokes in us simple, gentle praise that even though we die, surely God will be with us and we will give thanks.